Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. You must have pressed some button that started our podcast.
Well, thank you for doing that magical machine that you're holding in your hand.
I know. This is our favorite thing that we do every week that my wife and I do. We do other things as well. We make lots of videos and they're on the YouTubes and they're on the Facebooks. But this is a time for the two of us to just kind of be together intimately alone, also with Max, our producer, which is a little awkward. Yeah, I'm Max. But we love this 45
space.
Minutes to an hour that we get to spend with you guys.
Yes. And if you wouldn't mind hitting the subscribe button, because that gets our podcast into your magical machine automatically. And it also helps with that magic algorithm, helps other people find us. And like Penn said, the podcast is our very favorite thing because we get to share a microphone with people that we just find fascinating, and today is one of those days.
Yeah, I'm super motivated. We're recording this after it already happens, so just so you know, the guy that you're about to hear from is going to make you want to be a better person, and he's going to make you feel better about the potential of your children, and I needed both of those.
Yes, yes, he came on an amazing day, so...
His name is Balaji Oyejide. He helps kids discover their superpowers. He grew up with social anxiety. He was inspired by the Peter Parker mythology to find his own heroic story. Now, as a parent, this is so cool. He's created this book series called Brave Young Heroes. He did it with his two sons in mind. He's written 50 superhero books and tons of family-friendly hip-hop songs featuring kids who find their strength despite differences. These are superheroes that have things like anxiety, autism, dyslexia, OCD, and a lot more. He speaks at elementary and middle schools all over the country, and he tells kids everywhere, I see you, I believe in you, and one day you will change the world.
And welcome, Balaji. Am I saying it right?
You are saying it exactly right. I think we might be relatives.
Oh,
you said it so
I
well.
Knew it. Okay,
Balaji. Or we just spent time at the Bellagio.
No.
And we knew to drop the O. I always
Watch
have
this.
Little hints that I give myself.
There you go.
I
yeah.
am
going
to show off. Ready? Balaji Oyejide. Oyejide.
Oyejide.
Balaji Oyejide. I was practicing,
so
guys.
Is that your full name, or is there more to it that you want to tell us really quickly?
It's so fascinating that you ask that. Yes. A lot of Nigerian names are a story. It's
yes.
a whole like paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it is in there. There's a Mo at the beginning of my first name. So it's Mo Balaji. And the only time I hear that is when I'm in trouble.
Oh, I love it.
So please don't call me Mo.
Okay. Well,
no
just
Mo.
Try to behave.
Yeah.
Then we'll see what happens.
Fair enough.
So you have such a fascinating story. Can you just tell, for people who haven't heard of you, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you here?
Absolutely, Kim. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm originally from Nigeria. No, I didn't come from Nigeria. Today, my commute was a little shorter. I live in Raleigh here with the Holdernesses. And like most Raleigh natives, I'm a big fan. But I did grow up in Nigeria. And growing up, I was sort of a very shy, introverted kid, a lot of social anxiety, and I felt like I was the only one going through this. I mean, don't we all always feel when we're going through our struggle, we feel like we're alone?
Yes.
And so I felt like all the other guys were more charismatic, they were more witty, and they could talk to the young ladies, and I just had no social skills. I was the guy who would come up with the best punchlines, like 6 hours after. I'm like, I should have said that.
There was a Seinfeld episode where Costanza figured out like a burn on the way home and got into the entire episode was him trying to recreate the situation so he could do it again.
Yeah.
The jerks are called, they're all out of you. Yeah. Exact. So I know exact. Yes. I know what you're talking about.
You know, that's
yes.
the thing. I would be just stuck in my head all of the time. And I thought I was broken. Like my parents got me from the store and a piece was missing. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go through life being broken. And it sounds melodramatic now. Okay. So I was a little bit perhaps dramatic as a kid. But the funny thing is, when people are struggling, I think they feel such isolation that sometimes just saying it out loud, you realize that can't possibly be the truth. But I grew up feeling that was the truth. Now, I was very much into reading, and I started reading comic books. And the story of Spider-Man spoke to me because Peter Parker, even though he's from Queens, not Queens, Nigeria, but Queens, New York, he was broken like me. Peter Parker got picked on a lot. Peter Parker was not most likely to succeed in high school. Mm-hmm. And yet he was the one that was granted these powers. But what fascinated me the most was the whole with great power, right, comes great responsibility. So I was like, I don't know what my powers are, but one day I'm gonna find these. In the meantime, I was still at the very bottom of the social totem pole at school, and so every day I would wake up and pen. You know, I would wake up. I was a short kid. I'd wake up and say, "Okay, I hope today I'm tall," and I wouldn't be tall. I would drink all the milk. I'd eat all the things and still not be tall.
This is a late bloomer thing, is that because I was there too?
Yes.
Yeah, I went through puberty when I was 42. Like it was, or it feels like it. I was the last one. Literally the last one. I know what you're talking about. It sucks.
It really does.
I had a pull-up bar that I hung from.
thinking that would stretch you?
It
worked?
It worked!
Look at you now, honey.
I don't know if science is going to agree with you, but I'll take it. Yeah.
Okay.
I really should have gone there. Oh, my gosh. But this is fascinating, though, because it turns out that all of us have an origin story. Mm-hmm. And we understand the concept of the origin story in modern life, thanks to comic books being so popular now in the movies. Growing up, reading comic books is not the coolest thing in the world, right? But I cherished those comic books. And so eventually I ended up, I had to find that power, that thing where I could say, okay, this is my superpower. Now, the summer of seventh grade, my mom, she's a medical doctor. She would travel across the world working for the World Health Organization. She came to the U.S. for a few months. And when she came back, she had recorded on a VHS tape.
I love this part. I've heard this part. This has to do with Hammer, doesn't it?
Okay.
This has to do with Hammer.
Okay. Let him tell.
Construction.
Yes.
But my mom came back from the U.S. and she had a VHS tape, right? And parents, you can explain to your kids what that is.
Go to a museum and see one.
Yes, it's like a portable YouTube, I guess. And she had just recorded a bunch of American television, and it included some music videos, including for my parents who grew up in the 90s. The You Can't Touch This
classic
music video.
Oh.
We are talking.
I can replay it in my head right now.
Aren't you doing that?
Yeah. I mean, it's
the white background.
Super baggy pants.
And the baggy
white
gold
background.
Pants.
Gold pants. Gold. I mean, you and I have we've dressed up as them before. Trying to recreate it.
I love it.
Memorizing
the, and then, like,
choreography.
The kind of shoulders like this one. No one can see what I'm doing, but I'm doing the shoulder roll while you're kind of the baby feet back and forth.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It was
so you're hijacking
the,
his story.
She picked a good one. That was a great video.
No. Penn is right there with me. You guys are right there with me. I was such a 90s fan, but nobody else had this video in the whole city. And so I started playing this video every day in my basement. Now, I should mention that I was also a very bad dancer.
Oh, okay. Double whammy.
This is what they told me. They're like, oh my God, you're so stiff. You are so awkward. And so I believed them, right? But I had the magic potion, though.
Yeah, you had Hammer's video.
I had the ace of spades.
Yep.
And so the whole summer I watched this video. I memorized all the moves. And going back to school that fall, there was a school dance.
Ooh.
Right? And so I show up at the dance and, you know, some of the guys are looking at me like, you're walking with a little extra swagger or something. Like, what is going on?
You'd been practicing, hadn't you?
I had been practicing. I know something.
This is very Napoleon
know.
Dynamite, actually. Yeah.
And this is a funny thing because a lot of times we want to give our kids confidence. For those of us who maybe have kids that are introverts or shy like I was or have anxieties. And the one thing that is guaranteed to not work is to tell your child, just be more confident.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
0 out of 10 times does that work.
It doesn't work. Yeah. A lot of times confidence is built on feeling competent. Like you feel like I'm good at something. I'm good at something that matters. I walked into that dance like, oh, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I might not be able to do much of anything else. So the music comes on and, you know.
Do you remember the song?
I'm going to tell you the song in a minute. Okay. I do remember. No, this is good. I'm glad you asked because I forgot to mention that.
Gotcha.
All right. So music comes on. I walk up to the young lady. No, Pennant, you're right there with me. Stay with me because I need a this is a Nigerian thing. We do a lot of call and response when we're telling our stories. Mm-hmm. So I need a lot of participation.
Good. Yeah, that's what I'm – Kim doesn't like it when I do this, but I'm just trying to help.
This one time, Kim.
So here's what's happening. No, Balaji is responding to some body language that Kim just gave me where she firmly put her arm on my shoulder, which is usually the don't interrupt. What I was doing – That was a kinetic interruption, as we learned about in a more podcast, where I'm trying to get more information.
There we go.
So we're good.
Okay. But Kim, you're doing an awesome job. Because
he's
we're gonna
so
get
supportive.
We're going to get to the punchline in a little bit. And so I walked across and I asked a young lady to dance. This was really big for me. Like, you know, saying hello was like, that was like my high bar. And I asked her to dance, and she says yes. So I walk out to the dance. Well, that's not accurate. I sauntered.
Yes.
I sauntered out to the dance floor, okay? The middle of the dance floor. Like, move, make room. And I start to bust out the moves. I'm literally doing the MC Hammer video.
Yes.
I'm going through the whole sequence.
Yes.
In my head. If you can picture that.
I am, but I'm trying to figure out how many beats per minute this song was. I'm worried about you now, Balaji, because there's not many songs that have the same BPMs as Hammer.
Yeah. Hold on.
Okay, I'm holding on.
So, you know, I'm starting to work up a little lather here.
Yeah.
I'm starting to work up a little sweat, but look, this is MC Hammer. You go all out. There's
no halfway.
Yeah, there's no halfway with MC Hammer. So I'm done. I have done the moves with precision, okay, with enthusiasm. And the music stops.
Oh.
And I'm like ready for the applause, and there's silence.
Oh.
And the young lady in front of me looks shell-shocked. And I realized that for about a minute and a half, she hadn't been dancing. She was actually like just standing
watching.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing? Because the thing is, you know, I knew the dance moves, but I didn't know the social cues, and nobody told me you don't do fast moves to a slow song.
Oh.
So. I was a pariah for the whole of seventh grade.
Oh, no, Balaji. Yeah.
What was the song?
In Your Eyes. I was going to say.
Like, was it like?
I think it was like MC Hammer's Have You Seen Her or something.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't work.
Have you seen her? Yeah, that's a good song.
I bet it was, yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
but
a great
that's
song.
A tough one to do all those moves to.
And now, but now it's your part of your story, right?
Now it is. Part of my story. Now, the interesting thing we were talking about. Oh, my wife just walked in. Hey, dear.
Hey, baby.
Hello.
Hey,
yes,
baby.
Yes. Yeah. This is you know, she is where the story starts to get better. But but before it gets better, it gets worse.
Oh no.
And this is the thing that I like to tell a lot of kids when I go to talk to them at schools and whatnot. Because a lot of times when we have something we're self-conscious about, we have that kryptonite or that weakness. We just want it to go away one day. We want someone to give us the magic pill that makes it go away. Well, okay. So I'm still an introvert, right? I do public speaking. I travel around
now
the world
and
talk on stages, and I'm still an introvert. And a lot of times people don't believe me when I tell them I'm an introvert. Now, I'm not as shy as I used to be, to be fair. I've built social skills. It's taken a long time, but I've built a lot of social skills, but I'm still an introvert. And what that means is that I get energy from alone time. And so if I've been on stage for an hour afterward, I need to go in a dark room, eat some Chick-fil-A, and watch some Netflix. Don't talk to me. Don't let the kids in. Give me like 3 hours. And then I'm back to normal. So still an introvert, which means that never went away, but I was still able, I still have to go out there and use my superpowers, right? Okay, so we'll talk more about the dancing thing, right? Eventually, I started to build confidence from the dancing thing. I went over to college. I came to the U.S. for college.
Oh.
Went to Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, amazing school. And I'm sorry, I like super studied your bio before. I already know this. I'm like excited about what's happening.
Okay,
no, I'm just excited about what's going to happen next.
I love it.
Okay, keep going. Go ahead.
This is good. To be fair, I knew nothing about Morehouse College all the way over in Nigeria as a 16-year-old. I took the SATs. I did reasonably well. One school gave me a scholarship. My dad was like, hey, you want to go to school in America? I'm like, do I? Oh, what teenager in the world doesn't want to go to the land of blue jeans and MTV? Yes. Take me to this America place. And so I came over to the U.S. I had no family, no friends, didn't know a soul.
Oh, man.
And I step out of the taxi when I get to Morehouse College, and I'm excited. I'm like Eddie Murphy and Coming to America,
oh,
right?
The best.
Kids, if you haven't seen that,
well, see, now all I can think about is the barbershop, and now that I'm not going to be able to focus on the rest of the story.
Fun fact,
wants to be called Muhammad Ali, it's a free country.
That is my second favorite movie.
What?
My first one is Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh
I can quote most of it. Anyway,
I heard they're doing a remake, by the way,
of Coming to America.
America.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm not here for that.
I don't know how I feel
Why
about it.
Why would you redo Perfection?
No, it's a sequel.
Sequel.
Okay, fine.
And Arsenio and Eddie are going to be in it.
Oh,
okay.
Wow. Then that's
I'm here for that.
That's awesome.
You're in Morehouse College.
I'm at Morehouse College, and Morehouse is great. It's the alma mater of Martin Luther King Jr. And Samuel L. Jackson, so go figure. We get both ends of the spectrum. But it's a wonderful school. But something was odd about the school. Like, something was weird about it. And it took me a couple of hours to, like, put my finger. I was like, something feels off. Yeah, you know, like in those horror movies where they're starting to play, it's like, don't go in that room, that kind of music. I was like, something's wrong. There were no girls on campus.
Oh.
Deal breaker.
Hang on. I'm sorry. You didn't know that?
I know nothing.
I think I knew
the school was in America. I didn't know where Atlanta was.
Right.
I didn't know what Georgia was.
Oh, I just knew. You went right into the buckle of the belt right
and
there.
And somewhere my father was laughing.
Aww.
Like 4 years. 4 years.
Oh.
But, as fate would have it, there was an all-girls school, all-lady school, right next door. And that's where my wife went to school.
Spelman, got it. Okay. She has a Spelman alumni shirt.
She got the Spelman
shirt. I used the powers of deduction.
There you go. Spelman's an awesome school. So things started to look up. And while I was at Morehouse College, I still had the social anxieties and the shyness and the introversion and being the new kid from another country. You know, I was sort of an outcast for a little bit. But all those MC Hammer moves I got ostracized for when I was in seventh grade, there was something called a step show competition. Stepping is something that is done by a lot of African-American sororities and fraternities.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
It's like an art form.
The one that I saw at UVA was a cappella, right? There was no music. It was just the sound of your own feet and your own hands and everything, which is really kind of cool. Yeah,
It's very, very cool. Yeah. And so I was able to translate some of the MC Hammer stuff to that, and I sort of found my tribe of people who sort of like to dance and stuff like that through that group. So a lot of times when you find that superpower, no, it doesn't take your weakness away. Superman is still allergic to kryptonite. But he's still Superman. I mean, Superman could sit up in his house every day and say, I'm not going out there because there's kryptonite somewhere out there. But I try to tell kids that, yes, you have that weakness, but what makes you a hero is putting on that cape anyway, despite knowing you still have that weakness. And the funny thing is that sometimes along the way, somewhere along your journey, that struggle could actually become your strength. So for me, being an introvert and being shy, I was always the wallflower, and I was the one who was reticent to go talk to people, but that made me a good listener. That made me empathetic. That made me root for the underdog. Mm-hmm. And so now I create superheroes that have autism, that have anxiety, that have dyslexia, that have obesity. I don't necessarily experience a lot of those things, but I'm able to say, I wonder what it's like for people going through that. That must be hard.
It's coming at a really good time. All that you're doing is coming at a really good time. By the way, it's a fantastic origin story. We all have our own, right? Mine, I heard a lot of myself in what you just said. And like finding that superpower and finding a way to create these characters who are so different and have like real deficiencies and real issues that every single one of us has, this is the perfect time for you to be putting this out. Like, do you think it would have worked when we were growing up as a kid? The world was, it just seemed so much more closed off back then.
The world was a lot more closed off. We didn't have the internet. Yeah. And culturally, I guess the world was much less of a global village before the internet. Now, cultures are sort of melding. And it's great in some respects. You can borrow great aspects from different cultures. But at the same time, you've got the fear of missing out, the FOMO. Kids are watching Instagram and they're like, man, my life doesn't look nearly that sweet.
You know? Nobody's life is what it looks like on Instagram, P.S. Yeah.
Exactly. Everybody's showing their highlight reels, but kids don't, even adults, a lot of times don't internalize or realize the fact that, no, that's not what their whole life looks like. And so we all have this hole inside ourselves that we feel like, oh, if I can just get to that level, just do that thing, I will be complete. And there's no completion. There's always just striving.
How did you get from you clearly overcame, but how did you then take the next step, which is now you speak and now you're writing these books to help kids? What happened in between there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Tamara and I, my wife and I, we have two boys. They're 12 and 9 years old right now, same age as your kids,
yes.
Kim. And when we had our first child, who was about 3 years old, and I used to tell him these superhero stories all the time because, you know, I was trying to win him over to my side. Come with the nerds. And I'll tell him all these stories. And at that time, I got laid off from my company. So we've talked about this concept of the hero's journey. And I was sharing with Kim and Penn about how this guy named Joseph Campbell created this formula called the hero's journey. He found that a lot of mythology has similar threads through it. And a lot of Hollywood stories are based on the hero's journey today. Well, typically the hero never chooses to go out and be heroic because, well, it hurts.
Yeah, it just happens, right?
Like it's like you're forced to step out of your comfort zone. Because, you know, think about it. As parents, our initial instinct is to protect our kids, right? We don't want them to come to any harm. We want them to be good at all the things
and
figure out all the problems, get a good job, buy a good house, live in a good neighborhood, marry a good spouse, have two kids and a dog, right? But then real life starts to happen to them, right? They get picked on at school. They lose a baseball game or football game. Somebody tells them they're ugly or they're too tall or too short or too fat or too thin or too funny or not funny enough. And then they start to feel some kind of way. And we're like, oh, that must stop. How dare you speak to my child that way? But the hero has to get out of their comfort zone if they're going to grow. I mean, Penn, I remember hearing about some of your origin story, about how you used to write this very angry music.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid.
Yep. I mean, I didn't have much else to do. Like, you know, everyone else was playing sports. I know this seems crazy. I was too small to play sports.
Wow.
That happened later. I got bigger later. It turned out angry. I thought it was going to be something that would, like, get me chicks. Just full disclosure, that's the only reason I was writing it. I was happy, like, sitting in my, like, room and staring at the wall, but I was like, this could be a means to an end.
And that's his hero story.
And I think there probably was a little bit of anxiety as well, even though I think I've gotten a little bit better at that.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I've gotten better at it is I think the world has changed around me to be a little more accepting of that awkward guy.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
And it's so fascinating as well. I mean, Penn saying that we have some similarities in our origin stories, because if you could see us, we look like twins.
Twins. You can't even tell them apart, guys.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I can't tell them apart.
I'm glad you said that, because because you're talking about superheroes. Like, I was reading superheroes. I'm like, Spider-Man. Oh, yeah. Like, I have no problem. It's a white guy. Hulk, white guy. He turned green, but he's a white guy. Superman, Bat and Robin. They're just white dudes that look just like me. So I had that, like, immediate kind of
connection.
Okay, I had that connection with them. And boy, that is a pretty narrow way to look at the world.
That's why it's so cool what you're doing. You're creating stories with kids that actually will represent other than like white guys.
Yeah.
And they actually look like these kids, or they act like these kids, which I think it was missing from our childhood stories.
Yeah, it's wonderful, because when you start to look at so much of culture across the world starts with story. Like, even before we started writing down stories and things, there were oral stories. And a lot of lessons, life lessons, were passed not through textbooks, but through stories. I mean, when cavemen drew pictures on the walls, they were like, look, if you go here, Sabretooth will eat you.
You die.
Right. We learn through story. So story is such a powerful thing. And yet, a lot of times, though, we tell stories about ourselves or people that look like us. So with the advent of the internet, there are now more voices that are able to tell their own origin stories. And I'm trying to sort of accelerate that process. Say, for example, I'll give you an example. I went to my kid's school a couple of years ago. He was in fourth grade, my older son. And I'm passing out a bunch of these books I've written. And these heroes, by the way, I've got a kid from Mexico who he has the power of flight, but he also has vertigo.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So every time he flies, he gets nausea and throws up. For a teenager, that's very difficult. So, like, do you use your powers and embarrass yourself or stay the cool guy and let people, you know, come into harm? Right? I've got...
Hang on. What happened? Did he puke?
You got to read the book, honey.
No, you can't just leave me hanging like that. Did he save the day and then puke all over everyone?
You got to read the book.
You
got to
read
the book.
Okay.
This is going to cause me problems. I'm going to run out of the end of all of these examples.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But the funny thing is, so I've got all these different superheroes, and one of them is a young lady from Greece. She is a Spartan warrior. You guys ever see the movie 300?
Yeah.
Right? And there's so many stories about the Spartans, right? They are amazing warriors. Well, she's a female warrior, first of all, because a lot of times the Spartan warriors we see are these scantily clad dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, they were wearing women's bathing suits, but they basically, the outfits in that movie were.
I'm here for it, but whatever.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Right. Yeah. It's okay. So, okay, this young lady is fully clothed. That's sort of another thing that I try to do a lot. There were female superheroes growing up, but.
They were in bikinis.
Thank you. It's so impractical.
Oh my gosh.
Like, would you go to the gym and do CrossFit? Right. So we try to I try to create female superheroes with more practical attire. But this Spartan hero is not only female, she's plus sized. And so, but she's also the greatest strategic mind that Sparta has ever known. So she's greater than all the other warriors, not because of physical attributes, but she can outsmart everyone.
I love it.
Right?
And
her being plus size never goes away, by the way. So if it's a running competition, she loses every time and everybody makes fun of her, but they need her every time they go into battle. So this boy in the class, I'm passing all the books, he's like, there's something wrong with this one. I'm like, oh, what's the problem? He's like, oh, she can't be a hero. She's fat.
Oof.
I need you to take me inside that room and what the teacher did next, please. Let's see how good the teacher was.
Well, the teacher, she takes three steps back.
Okay.
And she turns like three shades of beet red. Mm-hmm. And she's about to say something. And, you know, I interject because, you know, the young man just doesn't know. He hasn't been exposed.
That's true.
Why it's so important. I like to say often that kids need two things in their heroes, in their books. They need mirrors and windows. So kids need mirrors because they need heroes that look like them, mm-hmm. that they can aspire to. Like, even though Spider-Man was from Queens, he still looked like me in terms of what he was going through. So I was like, one day I'm going to be like Peter Parker. but they also need windows. You got to have heroes that have a completely different experience, and yet you're like, that dude is still heroic. That young lady is heroic. I'm like, I respect that. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay, yes, she is plus sized, but look at all the stuff she can do, is what I told the young man. Do you know that by the end of that school year, the kids all had to do a book report, and this young man does a book report on the plus-sized hero. So perspectives can be changed,
right,
with exposure. But so we not only want a kid who is on the spectrum, whether he has Asperger's or autism, we not only want that kid to see superheroes that looks like him, we want other kids who are not on the spectrum to see a hero with autism and to say, that's pretty cool.
It's a lesson for all of us, even grown-ups, because I think so much of the fear and the racism and just the things that you hear in the news these days is a lack of exposure. People don't come in contact with people that look different than them, right? They don't come into contact with people who are from different places. And it takes work, honestly, to really expose yourself in a different way. So although you're creating these for kids, I bet you the parents get a lot out of it too.
Anytime I come across anyone who is a contemporary parent, I would love to know if y'all are going through some of the same, you know, stuff. Like our daughter, she is not a late bloomer. She's bloomed.
Like, oh, she's 12, she, almost 13.
She's three inches taller than Kim.
Yes.
And has become part of this like middle school area that's a whole new kind of space. My son is all he wants to do is play sports.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, how's that going for you guys?
And my wife is laughing over here as well. It is fascinating. We're going through the transition. So, yes, we are very much modern parents. And I think when our kids first got old enough to start doing stuff outside of the house, we're signing them up for Tumble Gym. Mm-hmm. We're signing them up for enrichment activities, all the things, taekwondo, piano, you name it. They're doing it because we're going to give our kids the best. Yes. Only
better
the best
than
for our
what
kids.
We had.
But that's the thing.
Yes.
And I think that's a natural parent instinct. You know, our parents, I think we were all fortunate to have really good relationships with our parents.
Yeah.
We were raised by great parents, but yet we're like, oh, well, I didn't go to camps every summer when I was a kid. And the Joneses are doing that. Why not my kids? But we started to realize that we were soon sort of hyper-scheduling our children. And in the process of trying to give them all the things, we were crowding out room for like unstructured play, crowding out room for boredom. Boredom is one of the greatest gifts we can give our kids, because from boredom comes imagination. From boredom comes creativity, right? So being modern parents is a dichotomy, mm-hmm, in that we are sort of self-aware enough to say, okay, I don't want to mess up my kids too badly, so let me give this thing an earnest go at it. Like, in addition to food and security and education, there's some other boxes I could check. Because I was bored, I spent the whole summer studying MC Hammer.
I wrote angry love songs.
You wrote angry love songs.
And now I'm a musician.
How about that?
And now you write comic books.
And the funny thing about the MC Hammer thing, the dancing, while I was in college, I had the opportunity, Tamara and I did, to dance in the 96 Olympics.
Stop.
The opening ceremonies. Just coincidentally.
You buried the lead. I'm sorry.
The Olympics came to Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. I remember.
I went to the Paralympics like a couple of months later, but I didn't go to the Olympics. Yeah,
The Paralympics are phenomenal. Yeah. I still want to make it to those. For the Olympics, they sort of went around to the local colleges. They were like, hey, we're looking for like 10,000 dancers this summer. Interested?
Yes.
Yeah. Ugh. And so we show up, we audition, we make it, we try out, phenomenal experience. We end up performing for a stadium of 100,000 people. This is the awkward MC Hammer kid from seventh grade.
Oh my gosh.
100,000 people live, including the President of the United States. They had video cameras. So I had relatives in Nigeria watching the opening ceremonies. 2 billion people across the world watched this thing.
I remember it.
Tamara gets on camera for like, I think, 3 seconds.
What?
Were you really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I mentioned to Kim, my wife was a cheerleader growing up. So she knew,
how to get in front of the camera.
She
did a little wink, by the way. No. Lesson, but you were there.
I was there. That's it. That's
Penn. One of those things, sorry.
Penn is doing it.
Oh,
I didn't get up, but I was in the building. I was in the stadium. All from my being bored as a 12-year-old. And so in terms of your kids, I think I would suggest a couple of things. This is for any parents. One,
write this down.
One is, first of all, we've got to help them realize that they're on a heroic journey, right? They have to have that heroic identity. What that means is let's not prepare the path for them. Let's not prepare. Do you guys remember when we heard that a bunch of famous parents were paying for grades?
Dude, we have a friend of a friend who had something to do with that, actually.
He was like a tutor. He was a tutor of one of the kids.
Like, he wasn't so complicit.
He was not complicit.
Sure.
It was, like, in fact, the opposite. He was trying to help the kid.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah, we've had, like, full dinner conversations about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, so
that's the thing. It's so shameful.
We've got to be careful not to try to lay out. It's almost like if you're a football fan, like, we're doing all the blocking and tackling for the kids so they can run a clear path, right? We're trying to remove all the obstacles. But us parents, if we look back, our strength comes from our struggle. Mm. You know, Kim, a lot of what draws people to you, and people are so drawn to you, is the struggle that you've gone through. Mm. You're being bullied in school and what you then did with that, right? Just your struggles with anxiety and how you've been so public has given other people courage to say, I'm anxious too, but I can still be productive. Mm-hmm. Despite, maybe the anxiety doesn't go away. So we've not got to not take all the obstacles away.
We had a conversation this morning, is that I have a very hard time, and I know he's saying it out loud, my rational brain is, our kids, no success comes without struggle. In the world Penn and I live in, if we don't try different things and fail at them, we would never have been sitting in this chair right now. Like, I think we've had more failures than most people because we've tried harder, right? So our kids are going to need to try things, and they're going to need to suck at things, but it's hard to watch your kids suck.
Yes. Yes.
It is hard to see your kids get beat at something or get an F on a test or whatever. It is so hard.
See, yeah.
I'm just saying it's hard.
I know.
It's not part of the process. It's part of the process,
that's
though.
That's good.
Yeah.
My favorite movies aren't when, like, people, like, work really hard and they come from behind and win the game. My favorite movies are when they come from behind and they come up just short, but they learn a valuable lesson along the way.
Stop it.
There's not many of them. Look up the original Friday Night Lights high school movie with Billy Bob Thornton. Mm-hmm. They lose the final game. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but that movie brought me so much joy because I saw, like, oh, they lost, but look how much they learned.
Mm.
Nobody wants those movies.
No.
I love those movies.
Talk to him, Ben.
I don't know why.
No, talk to him,
like,
Ben.
There was, like, the Deep Impact, the movie, everybody dies. A giant, like,
we're going back to Angry Pen.
Am I? Yeah, what the hell's wrong with me?
But
they learned to love each other just before, like, she had this, like, she finally, like, hugged her dad for the first time. Boom! 3 Mile High.
Okay.
Tidal wave literally takes her 6,000 feet in the air and probably decapitates them both.
Oh my God, bless America.
I'm just saying, you can learn from your failures.
Penn also just...
Rocky won.
Thank you. Thank you, Max.
And it's the most inspirational story of
all. There we go. Yes. Okay. No, I'm just trying to help you.
No, I know.
By the way,
my kids don't care when they lose. They come off the court or the field or whatever. They're like, okay, cool. Are we gonna get hamburgers?
This is true. Kim cares more.
I yeah. bite my tongue.
I mean,
and I'm
it's
like,
sweet, right?
I know. I'm like, you did awesome. Did you have fun? Like, for everybody, like, I am putting on the brave face in the show,
that's
and I'm high fiving. I'm doing everything totally 100% right. But with, you know, grades or sports or friends, you know, not being included in certain ways, it's hard to see your friends
that's
not
good.
Included. Yeah. It's or your kids not included. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's hard. I'm not saying that. Yeah.
I don't want to make, like, a blanket statement, but I'm going to.
Anytime you're like, I don't want to be.
No, I'm going to. Nobody loves their kids more than Kim. I know I've angered a lot of people, and I don't care. I've seen this in real time.
But this is like a mama bear
nobody,
thing.
Nope, yep.
I love it.
A
yeah,
mama
she is,
bear
she,
thing.
It is a very sweet mama bear thing.
I
and
love it.
That's so, like, that could be your superpower.
I would venture to say that part of your superpower is probably how much you care and
it's
how
empathetic.
Empathetic.
It's her empathy.
Yes,
it's empathy,
you're an empath.
For sure.
You guys remember in the Avengers, the Infinity War?
Infinity War.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a superhero reference. Sorry, folks. But your kids probably know what I'm talking about. Do you remember in the part one where they're on Thanos' home planet and it's Iron Man and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange and they're all holding Thanos down and like, this is our one chance to get the gauntlet off of his hand, right? And they actually almost did it. Do you remember which of the heroes was able to subdue Thanos so that they had a chance to pull this thing off? There was one hero. She's not very popular or famous. She was from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Was it the weird lady with the antenna?
The antennas?
Her name is Empathy or something.
She's an empath.
Yeah. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is a plot point that most people miss. Now, the reason the empath was not able to keep control of Thanos, they almost had that glove off, was that...
She started feeling him.
The other one, what's his name?
Mantis is her name.
Mantis, thank you. So Peter Quill, he got mad and started punching Thanos, and Thanos came out of his trance sort of thing. So the angry teenager, more or less.
The hormones took over.
The empath was not able. But Kim, to your point, I'm going to quote Kanye West, and this will be the only time I ever quote Kanye West.
I believe Kanye West said it best.
The look his wife gave.
Hang on, let's bring this in here. So how do you feel about your husband about to, I hope he's not quoting poop diddy scoop, scoop diddy whoop, whoop diddy scoop.
Early Kanye West. The first Kanye album was phenomenal. Kanye says, "We're all self-conscious, I'm just the first to admit it." And I love that line because to Kim's point, Kim is talking about how her logical brain says, yes, my kids need to fall down and crawl before they walk and walk before they run. But she's admitting that her emotional brain has a different response. And a lot of times we parents put pressure on ourselves to put up this front, like, I am fully formed now. I'm a grown up, right? I have my parent card. It's in my wallet. Therefore, I'm done. I'm fully baked. And now I get to work on you, kid. And what I've realized is a lot of times when I'm trying to work on my child, I'm actually, my issues are surfacing. Yeah. And I'm projecting onto my kid.
Yeah, 1,000%.
And I'm like, yeah, maybe I ought not to do that. But it's human. It's a human condition. So even as we're trying to raise our kids and we're like, oh, I figured it's all, I got the textbook. Yeah, us as grownups are still so far from being complete. So Kim, I think you're just the most honest among us.
Well, me and Kanye and I, we talked about it one time. But I do think it's because I see where I tripped and fell as a teenager or as a 9-year-old, and I saw where I just messed up or I didn't try hard enough. I'm like, don't do that because that's what I did. But maybe it'll end differently for them, or maybe they'll they need to go through it.
I don't think either of them have gone through any of the things that we're describing, because we have done, as you said, we've created this really comfortable world for them and set them up for like a ton of success. And at some point it's going to happen.
No, and it has, and in very little ways. I mean, not going to say little ways, but both of them have been, you know, there have been big sleepovers, whatever they were excluded from. Those are like little things. And then, you know, they both have struggled in school on different things and sports. Of course, I think the beauty of sports is it's built in failure. So they've endured all that stuff. So they have their own. We'll see when they come to interview us in the retirement home when they have a podcast, issues they're blaming us for.
Kim has told me on a couple of occasions, and because she's honest and I love this about her, that part of this whole podcast procedure is so that we can have proof when our kids try to blame us for stuff.
I know.
Because they're going to blame us for stuff.
100%. Like,
we're cataloging the efforts that we've made.
Right.
So that's, this is proof that we tried, guys.
In season 2, episode 3.
Yes. Right. Yes.
No, that's.
And the instead of a college savings plan, we're just considering calling it therapy savings plan.
There
you
go. So, okay. I remember I told you this was going to be 30 minutes and you're too much fun. So we're like blowing way through that. I apologize. But before we leave you, would love to know the one thing. If you had to give a 1-hour speech and they're like, hey man, sorry, you've got 45 seconds.
Yep.
Like, what's the one message you would give to parents and to kids based on all that you've learned and all that you do?
So here's what I would tell parents to tell kids. And I try to tell kids this as often as I can when I go to speak at schools and things. I tell these kids, I see you, I believe in you, and one day you will change the world. Somebody told me that once. I was a freshman at Morehouse College, totally insecure. I was one of those kids who did well in school. But I did so well in secondary school, that's high school, that I didn't really study that much. And so in college, that caught up to me, mm-hmm. right? So all of a sudden, I'm at risk of losing my scholarship. But every time I would walk into, I was in this dual degree program, engineering program, I'd walk in that office, and the director, her name was Delinda Brown Clark. She would see me come in, crowded office, and she'd say, "Oh, there he goes. You guys see that young man? Look at that young man right there. Brilliant. Brilliant. Come on in, young man. Oh, this man is going places. He's going places." And she would do that every time. And as an introvert, that was like the, "Don't draw attention to me." Right? I'm the kid with the accent and the funny, like, stop it. But she did that so often that I was like, either she's crazy or maybe she's onto something.
Crazy genius.
Like,
yeah.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Either way, she's weird. Yeah. And so I started to believe that, okay, maybe I'm not the loser that I feel like. Maybe I just haven't figured this thing out, but I will one day. And so when I started writing books, I dedicated them to her. She passed away, unfortunately. But that, she taught engineering, for crying out loud, and that's not what stuck with me. The fact that she said, "No, I believe in you. Like, I see you." When you tell kids, "I see you," it's like, I see you for who you are. I'm not seeing your imperfections and saying, "Okay, I'm a coach, and this is how I can fix you." I'm like, "No, Penn, I see you're tall, gangly, awkward, mathletes, singing, you know, tennis, the whole nine, the farts, everything.
You see it all." No, I love that.
I see it all. I see it all. And I believe in you. And I like to tell, somebody asked me once, I have it on my t-shirt, it says, "One day you will change the world." So somebody asked me once, "Why don't you say, today you will change the world?" And I said, "You got to meet people where they are."
Right.
Most of us know that today.
It's also a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of
like
pressure.
It's 12 o'clock. I gotta get my oil changed at 1:30. How am I gonna change the world in between then and picking the kids up?
So yeah, some days you you don't have it.
Oh, wait, no.
Today is not the day I'm changing the world. But when you paint it in my future, we talk about that heroic journey. We want to help kids to write themselves into a heroic story. Their actions start to act like they're going to win. And maybe they have a good chance of winning, or maybe the asteroid hits them at the end of the movie.
But they learn a valuable lesson along the way. You can't learn the valuable lesson on the way if you just say, "We're going to get crushed." I'm with you on that. In fact, when I coached teams, like, my favorite ones were when we saw, like, they just played better in the second half. I don't care if they got crushed out. Just playing better, learning something.
Penn likes to tell jokes in halftime. That's his coaching strategy.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
Sometimes you gotta relax.
Especially, like, our kids play tennis, and, like, before a tiebreaker, you've got to chill them out.
He just tells dad jokes.
Yeah.
The other coaches are actually coaching. He's like, "You know what happened one time?" Yeah. Can you tell us where people can find you and find information about the projects you're working on?
Oh, yes. Awesome. So you can find me at braveyoungheroes.com. That's H-E-R-O-E-S.
Because none of us know how to spell heroes. I'm glad. No, I'm serious. I'm like, "Well, crap, how do you spell that?"
I work with a lot of kids, and sometimes they leave the E out.
No, I was doing that in my head. I'm glad you said that. Okay.
So it's braveyoungheroes.com, and I had spoken to Kim earlier about an online conference that we're putting on called the Resilient Kids, Raising Resilient Kids. So you go to resilientkidssummit.com. We have 40 of the most amazing voices in kids' resilience and confidence that are coming on. We've got people that worked at Marvel. We've got counselors and psychologists and best-selling authors and coaches.
Yeah, and tell us the format of that.
Yeah, so it's me interviewing a bunch of really cool people and telling them how to fix my kids. No?
You're on to something. He's figured out what we do.
Yeah, this is why we have a podcast.
Exactly.
This is the entire reason we have a podcast. We just went free therapy.
Where and when, just really quickly?
Oh, so it's an online conference. It's going to be October 25th through November 1st. So it's leading into Halloween. And the theme is, because raising brave kids in a changing world doesn't have to be scary.
Oh, I like a theme. Nice work. Okay.
What's the time commitment? No, it's people are going to want to know. Is it like 48 straight hours of interviews? Because you said it was 40 people. Like,
yeah. So each day has a theme.
Okay.
And so each, like, one of the days is building resilience through play.
Okay.
Right. And it's a bunch of people talking about really cool ways that you can get your kids to play more.
Okay.
Right. And so you just kind of pick and choose. It's like a buffet. You go, okay, and I'm like, I like that one. I like this. I like that.
And you can, and they'll be on demand. You can just pick them whenever. Have they been pre-recorded or are they going to be?
They've been pre-recorded.
Perfect. Okay. Yep. This is great. No, yep. This is good. Yep. Like, I'm digging, yep, this. Yep. All right. Gotcha.
So it's buffet style.
Okay.
Okay. I like a buffet, except for the germs. Okay. Thank you so much.
You
for
hate buffets.
I really do.
You, like, for I can't breakfast, believe you just said that.
Except for breakfast, yeah, buffets, sorry, okay, where I feel like for some reason, like the
hot
germs
lamp
have,
is not your,
no,
jam.
Except for, like, yeah. No, it's a breakfast buffet. That's about it. Anyway.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, honey.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thank you so much for being here. And we just want to, like, hang out with you and just, like, soak in your positivity.
I'm motivated. Like, I want to pick the kids up today.
Good. You're going to.
Modern parenting.
I know.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Yay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.